Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Doug Glanville, former player, of course, big league outfielder, works for the Marquee Network in Chicago, of course. The Starkville podcast and The Athletic. Class is in session with Doug Glanville on the Marquee Sports Network. And he's with us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Doug, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing all right, Doug. I appreciate the time, man. Hey, you know, a lot of ex-players, I feel like these days, you know, it's very popular to, I think, badmouth baseball these days, right? I think non-baseball fans like to badmouth baseball, which, all right, they're not baseball fans. I get that, I guess. But my partner and I, we're both huge baseball fans. And I find that a lot of ex-players, not you, but I've heard from a lot of ex-players on broadcasts, are constantly complaining about the style of baseball today. Yeah. I, you know, and maybe they're right, but is that good for the game? Is that going to help baseball to have a bunch of ex-players constantly complaining how bad they think baseball is now?
Well, it's not going to help unless you are part of whatever the solution may be, you know, until you kind of get down at the level where you're trying to impact policy around it or make some changes or really get a full sense of the data involved, whether it's the fans and their feedback about what they're concerned about. As you mentioned, the Starkville podcast, we had Theo Epstein on in the kickoff event of the year for us, and he mentioned that when they polled people about some of the exciting plays that have diminished, it's been the triple, the double, the sort of hustle double, stolen bases, you know, things that are very different from, as you mentioned, this previous generation. But as any sport or anything, there's an evolution. It changes, it adapts, the data is rich, and people are using that data to make decisions. And there's not enough incentive for it to be different as a hitter. We had Jay Bruce on, he said, hey, look, if you're going to have me hit 279 with 20 home runs or 253 with 35 home runs, and you're rewarding us for hitting more home runs, it's kind of hard to say beat the shift, beat the shift, beat the shift when I'm only going to get a single out of it. And not just selfishly, but we're scoring in bunches anyway, so you know I'm trying to get that three-run home run if I can.
One thing I really think is great about baseball right now, I think there's still some curmudgeons about it even within the game currently. We have there's probably more young stars than we've seen in forever. And I like the emotion of the game. I like players showboating, celebrate. I shouldn't even say it's showboating because whatever. These young players, when they celebrate home runs, and we got, you know, other sports you're allowed to celebrate without getting the ball in your ear. I think as Ken Griffey Jr., the coolest baseball player that I've ever seen, said, let the kids play, Doug. I got no problem with it. What say you as a former player?
Well, I'll tell you what the biggest change I've seen is you're seeing, although you mentioned some of the former players, but you know, when you think about hearing from all these veteran players who are still playing, they really look at Fernando Tatis Jr. and some of these young players as where we're going. And they're excited to see how they're energized and passionately competing. I mean, the Trevor Bauer / Tatis Jr. battle, you know, back and forth was fun. I mean, you see that, you know, it's good to hear a pitcher or some of the old guards that are still in the game saying, okay, we could work with this. This is important. This is important that we show that it's hard to hit a home run, and when you do it, you want to celebrate and you want to dance a little bit. And look, you can do that without being malicious towards your opponent, and that's the gray area that's never been accepted. There was no gray area historically, so I see that as a positive when you get a lot of great players who are veterans saying, no, this is good. This is good for the game. And that can really help to drive some of the players that are now on the other side of retirement to really rethink about their position that might be a little bit outdated.
Yeah, but Doug, the way I see it, the one big problem I have right now with the game, and I love this, it's my favorite game ever, but you of the world, you guys don't exist anymore. The guy that could get a bunch of hits, played exceptional defense, had some speed to himself, your player is going more extinct by the day in place of a bunch of guys that just have a bunch of pop.
Well, look, it's hard, and that's what's probably hard for a lot of the players who are those recently retired or retired players. They look and don't see themselves, and that's painful because you feel like you're going extinct, and when that's what you've done for so much of your life and you've loved it, it feels like a slap in the face when you have a fraternity like that is the players in baseball. So, but when you get past that, you start to look at the nature of how things change, and you know that along the way you might have coached some young players that they still respect that history, but the game has been driven so much by an analytics revolution that's not just unique and different because it's always been part of the game, but it's that it's in real time now. I mean, it's in real time. Like, bullpens are managed, decisions are made. They're synthesizing so much data within every pitch and every defensive move, and it's slowed it down. So, yes, as a viewer or an analyst of this game, it is problematic to have three outcomes primarily, right? Home run, strikeout, walk. It is problematic. And why is it problematic? Because you have these great players today who are the best athletes the game has ever seen, and they don't get to use a lot of their athleticism because there's no balls in play. There's just no balls in play. And it's really hard to hit because everybody's throwing 110 miles an hour, and they're taught now to blow out as hard as they can and then let the next guy come in who's throwing 98. And it's made it really tough to hit. So you have this counterbalance. So it's true. Like, my player, my style, I would love to see more stolen bases, but I also recognize that it's going to take a lot more than just wishing for Doug Glanville to be back. The game has to shift in how data is used, and it's going to take a whole cultural shift.
Doug, 21 years in the big leagues, Albert Pujols is cut by the Angels this afternoon. He asked for his release in the final year of what's obviously not been a great contract for the Angels. But he's a lock Hall of Famer, obviously. We were saying before we'd love to see him go back play for the Cardinals the rest of this year as a bench bat. You think there's any chance that happens?
I mean, that's a great point. I hadn't thought about that. But, look, he's tremendous. I mean, his numbers are – and I know Angels hasn't been the Cardinal years, but what a great player. I mean, he's just did so much well, whether it's base running and – gold glove defense. There's so many things that are almost forgotten because he's played so long. But I'm curious. I'm sure someone could use that right-handed power bat, and more and more that teams that are getting closer to the playoffs might see that as an asset. It's a little early now, but yeah, the Cardinals reunion, that would be fantastic.
That'd be fun to watch. We're paying our attention towards the Indians, though, and with the AL Central. The way this is, Twins are not running away with it. They're playing pretty bad baseball, Doug. The White Sox haven't, they got a couple injuries and already some dysfunction with Tony La Russa attached to that. Is there any way the Indians or any team in the AL Central maybe only need 87 wins to walk away with a Central title this year?
I mean, it's possible this year. And what's interesting, I look at Cleveland and you're kind of, when you look at their rankings in different categories, you're like, how are they where they are? Because there's been, a lot of struggles in offensive production, a lot of struggles, generally the pitching kind of middle of the road, giving up a ton of home runs out of the starting rotation, a lot of home runs. So you're seeing big damage. But what is kind of interesting is they're able to bridge to close out ball games really well. I mean, really well. So you have, and I think that's part of what's shifted from the shortened season last year. We weren't sure how long, managers like Francona would stretch the starters because they only had 60 games to work with. So you're leaning a lot more on your bullpen earlier in the game to be really to qualitatively pass it on to close it out. And they've kind of done a good job there in that middle realm. So blowouts haven't gotten far. They've been able to stay close and get the timely hitting. That, you know, the Royals are doing kind of the same thing. So that's what's very interesting to me about the construction of the pitching. What is going to be successful this year may be piggybacking on last year, because you're not looking for starters to go very deep at all. And that's the trend of baseball has already been on. But it's becoming more evident now that you get this middle relief core. That's no longer the junk gang. You know, these are guys throwing hard, and they can keep you in the ball game. Especially when you're home, you get a big hit late, you win the game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You talk about Clase and Karinchak at the back of the pen, and Nick Whitgren has righted the ship after a bad start. And Brian Shaw, it's funny. You know, obviously the Indians have this reputation of developing pitchers, and the back end of the rotation hasn't been good, as you mentioned. But, like, Brian Shaw was an excellent reliever for years with the Indians. He went to Colorado and a couple other places, and he was just awful the last 3 years. And you think he's done, and he comes back to Cleveland on a minor league contract, and he's given up one run so far this year. I mean, I think that, you know, is it him? Is it say something about the Indians and what they're doing with their pitching? What do you make of that, Doug?
Well, you know, first of all, anytime you can get out of Colorado as a pitcher, it's a win, okay? There's a lot of pitchers that have these weird splits home and away that, you know, credit the Indians for seeing that value. Francona's done a great job of – it's something that he's actually evolved quite a bit on as a person that can manage his bullpen over the years. Like, when I was playing in Philadelphia, he was learning that more and more in the very early days, and he's gotten to, you know, do a nice job of keeping his staff in the right position to be successful. So, yeah, you can get a rebirth, no doubt. But they're working pretty well. And, you know, just looking at the number, one thing they don't do, which is a good thing, is they don't give up a lot of home runs out of their bullpen. You know, they're not really so. It's so hard to chain runs together today because of the few hits, right? Epically low batting average in April across the league. You can't chain hits together. So if you're not walking someone and you're keeping the ball in the ballpark, you're in unbelievably good shape. So a lot of credit has to go to the Cleveland bullpen. I think it's really the anchor right now. And if their bats come around at all, they're going to be right there, because Francona is just an excellent manager.
Doug, you're a little bit older, but have you gone and had any interactions with Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski at all with the Penn connection?
I have not, but I definitely need to do that, for sure.
And our program director, Andy Roth, I think you guys are the same. He's turning 50 next month. He went to Penn, too. You probably don't know him, though.
Yeah. No, I mean, I got to, reunite that connection. So.
Yeah, we get the Penn networking thing.
Keep
here,
the pride going, yeah. But, yeah. No,
hey, Doug, last
that.
Thing. I'm curious, from your perspective, you know, we've seen football players and basketball players speak out on a lot of social and political issues, and baseball's been way behind the curve on that. And finally, over the last year, we've seen players speak out more and protest more and do stuff like that, which I think personally is a good thing. And I wonder, like, you know, a baseball locker room, unlike basketball and football, is really the most diverse. You got the, you know, a lot of countries represented, a lot of different backgrounds throughout America. And what is that dynamic? What was that dynamic like for you, I guess, in your different stops in the big leagues? And if you had a teammate that had a political agenda or politics that you didn't like, or an attitude that you didn't like, how did you deal with that?
Well, I'll tell you what, my favorite part of being a major league ball player and was the diversity.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in a town that voluntarily desegregated in the 60s, and sports was a big part of connecting those dots to how to be teammates together. It was a great example for larger society, not just for sports. So I love that. I love the fact that every spring training you show up and there's people from all over the world, all different backgrounds, trying to figure it out together. And you watch over the course of a long season how much you have different understandings of your teammates than you came in with, right? You start to go, oh, all right, now I'm caring about things that make us win, right? Who do you want to give the ball to in Game 7? You know, like, mm-hmm. you have a very different sense of what makes up people than just the stereotypes in the exterior. I love that. And I think for those reasons is why I feel it's important for sports and athletes to speak on it, because they actually are uniquely qualified to do so. I don't think they're given enough credit that they're in these environments that celebrate how to work together, celebrate how to be equitable and fair and uphold rules that are supposed to be distributed equally and fairly to everyone. That's a good example for our kids. That's a good example. So I think it's important. And you're seeing it more and more, as you mentioned, just speaking on issues. And just when you're centering around the idea that, hey, we all want to be treated fairly. We all want equity. We all want to feel like we belong. We all want to be respected. I mean, you know, those are important lessons that sports give us all the time. So I'm hopeful that we continue to develop it so that we have more inclusive and everybody feels welcome. I mean, that's what sports are about.
Great sentiments, no doubt. Check out Doug Glanville as part of the Starkville podcast on The Athletic. Class in session with Doug Glanville, the Marquee Sports Network, and the website DougGlanville.com. Great stuff, Doug. We appreciate the time. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Doug.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.